Product Breakfast Club.
Product Breakfast Club.
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
Product Breakfast Club.
Hey. Oh, sorry. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, everybody. I'm Jake Knapp. I'm your host of
Product Breakfast Club.
And I'm here with you in San Francisco, where we are experiencing thunder showers, thunderstorms, sheets of rain. Who are you? Where are you?
Hey! So my name is Jonathan Courtney. I'm here in Berlin. The weather in Berlin is really great at the moment. However, we just had a sheets of rain moment, as in it rained. I don't know if that's exciting. And the Product Breakfast Club is a podcast about sort of like, it's two designers who've been in the industry a while talking about, you know, life, design stuff, tech stuff, product stuff. You know, just don't expect to learn a lot. It's more about noise in your ear while you're doing other things.
Hear that crunching noise? I'm eating some avocado toast just to get the breakfast club part going and to annoy all those people who have the thing where chewing really annoys them.
You know,
this all reminds me, you and I were talking about topics we should discuss. I forgot that we were going to read reviews out loud because we got a really negative review.
True.
But also some really positive ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
And I thought we should read some of those out loud from the iTunes store.
Did we get a recent negative review?
Pretty recent, yeah. It's about our, it includes
Jesus
our singing.
Shit.
Let's see.
Oh, what? Are you serious? Someone actually give a bad review about the singing?
Can you see the reviews where you are?
I'm just opening it now. Okay. So I'm guessing that's the U.S. store.
U.S. store.
Passionate Product Peeps is the first one.
You want to read this one? I'll read the next one.
Okay, so Passionate Product Peeps, Jake, Jonathan, and their incredible guests shine the brightest of lights on the product industry and the great people within it. Engaging, informative, and downright hilarious are just a few of the words I'd use to describe the time you'll spend with them. Thanks so much, Katie Joy. That was a lovely review. Five fucking stars.
Thank you, Katie Joy. Here's the one I was just thinking about. This is the negative review. One topic show. 2 stars. This is from 1981116 Gum Band, which is probably somebody's birth date, maybe. Anyway,
I think that's their actual name.
Yeah, that's their given name. Came over from the talk show. Is that where you advertised, John?
Yes.
Okay. Came over from the talk show because of the sponsorship. Of the dozen or so shows I've listened to, they all come down to evangelizing design sprints.
By sprint.
He or she doesn't say by sprint at this moment, but that was a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Nice enough presenters. Well, that's good. Nice enough presenters.
Fair enough.
But no variety in content. Meow, meow, meow. Also, the off-key singing is genuinely off-putting.
That's so funny. Product Breakfast Club.
Product Breakfast Club. Okay, I read that as a 5-star review. I mean, everything's accurate.
Me too.
That's exactly what it is. You know what, though? I'm reading the review now with like a jokey voice.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
Came
care.
Came over from the
I don't
talk
care.
Show.
Who cares? I don't care how you say it. Oh, but when I actually read it the first time, I'm just like, whoa. I'm just like so sad, actually, when I read negative reviews.
That's funny. I don't give a shit about negative. Like,
really?
That's maybe something we should talk about. Like, for me,
yeah,
there are things where I can be hurt by feedback and like feel like, oh my God, hey, what the hell?
Yeah.
But for me, like with the podcast and even with our YouTube videos and stuff like that, I feel I know already in advance that the attitude that we have and the type of content that we're producing is something that not everyone should like. It's not like an overall everyone likes it thing.
Yeah.
And when I see that review, I'm like, yeah, fine. I mean, I'm not like, oh, how can we improve the show? I'm like, oh yeah, fine. I mean, that person's not going to listen anymore, and that's fair enough. I think that's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I do know what you mean. It's just like I admire that approach. I'm such a sensitive little baby.
I am about some things, though.
Okay, you are. Because, yeah, it's like that same thing when we were talking to Kevin Rose, and he was like, we were talking about failure, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's fine. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm glad it's fine for you. It sucks for me. It hurts my feelings. Like, I think actually it just does really like, I want to please everybody, I guess.
Yeah.
I take it like weirdly personally. I shouldn't. Like, I know, like rationally.
Overall, we shouldn't take anything personally, but we all do. So I take, if someone working at AJ and Smart really hates it there and then kind of talks to other people about it without talking to me, I really take that personally, because that's a direct reflection of my, let's say, my failure to build what I'm trying to build. Because, you know, then it means that actually something that I think is working isn't working. That's something that always gets me, if like internal aging smart stuff. Like, I try to make it not like get to me, but it does. Or I guess sometimes I get irritated if like I'm making a ridiculous, like very clearly I'm joking about something, like I'm obviously being as blunt as possible, and then someone thinks I'm being serious. Sometimes I'm not hurt. Sometimes I'm like, oh God, I don't want to use the internet anymore. But the podcast, I've never, even from day one, you know, even, you know, some people at AJ and Smart listen to it and we're like, oh, maybe this. And I'm like, nah, I like it like this. This is how it's going to be. Because I think the podcast is almost like for us, you know what I mean? It's like our own thing. It's kind of fun to do.
Yeah.
I really don't care if people don't like it. That's fine.
Oh, that thing about if somebody says secondhand that, you know, about AJ and Smart, I should tell you that Amr, after the last podcast, he said that you just totally suck.
Yeah, yeah, just, I heard. Yeah. I heard. It's it was like still I can't, in the recording.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to. Yeah, it was in the recording. Yeah, right.
But that's like.
It's like, Amr, we're still on the air, man.
And I think that's like something where we started to do these workplace assessment tests at AJ and Smart. It's like a part of the new onboarding process to AJ and Smart, or like hiring process, where you can kind of see personality traits or work style traits that may or may not fit well into AJ and Smart. And one of my things is, or one of my things to work on, having done that test, I was just curious and I wanted to see what my results would be. And I have a low resilience for things in that sort of area. Like, it's almost like I want everything to be really, really perfect when it comes to the company. And so somehow I just take everything, I tend to take things too personally. Whereas better CEOs are able to almost like say, yeah, well, this is the company, this is what I'm building, and people have to deal with that. For me, it's like the idea of someone leaving and saying, oh, well, Jonathan was an asshole. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what people say, but, you know, I'm just like imagining.
That's what they say. That's what
they say. Yeah, 100%. You know what it is? It's being misunderstood can hurt me. Whereas the Product Breakfast Club, these people are not misunderstanding it. They don't like it because of exactly what it is. And I'm fine with that. Yeah. I'm fine if something is like bluntly this thing and then people don't like it. I actually am totally okay with that.
I think that's helpful for me, actually, to try to frame it that way. Like, this is what it is. You like it or you don't. And some people won't like it because if we're going to do something that we enjoy making, and it is going to not appeal to everybody. Negative reviews of my books also really bug me. And I think it's in negative comments on like Twitter, like anything, like it just kind of, and partly it's like comes from me wanting to figure out, okay, well, I want to listen to the criticism, because a lot of times you can learn something interesting by being open to the criticism. You know, if you can like actually hear what the antagonist says to you, then like maybe there's an opportunity to learn and get better. So there's that part. So I guess I do try to listen because of that. But I think part of it too is just that it's just like embarrassing to admit. But when I go to look at the podcast reviews or something like that, you know, like tweets or whatever, seriously, what I'm hoping for is for positive feedback. It's like, for whatever reason, my ego at that moment needs like a little positive feedback. You know, not consciously I'm going to look for it, but I know that's what's going on.
Yeah.
If I go to Twitter to look at my notifications, or if I go to, which is why I have to like block Twitter except for like once a week, because I do this too much. Or like if I go to the podcast reviews, I'm like, seriously, what I want is somebody to pat me on the back. And so when like, when the review is like, you suck, you know, it hits me when I'm being like really sort of pathetic. So anyway, while you were talking, I tried to take a bite of my avocado toast and like a big, juicy, sweet slice of avocado fell off the toast because I was holding my phone. I still have the reviews open, so we'd read a couple more. And the avocado slice fell on this rug I got here, which is it's like a wool rug.
Mm.
And so it instantly is just like, that avocado is going to be in that rug forever. And little wool hairs got all over this amazing slice of avocado. I put it back on the toast. So I'm going to take a bite of it later. But I just wanted to give you that visual image.
But I think, you know, the avocado thing is definitely important to this conversation. I might just skip over it for a second. I was rereading the book Ego is the Enemy by your best buddy Ryan Holiday.
Best buddy. God, Ryan Holiday. See, there's another guy. Every time, always writing blog posts.
Yeah.
Always super popular. I'm
Ryan.
Just so jealous of people. He's just, God.
It's definitely nothing to do with the topic of the book. I think I read that book when it first came out. I don't remember when that was. And even though I liked it, it didn't click with me. I didn't think that everyone has ego problems, and especially entrepreneurs who start their own business. Believe me, you all have ego problems. Rereading it last week, I realized, okay, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in here where you wouldn't classically think of it as ego problems, like ego issues, but definitely there's a lot of things in there, a lot of problems in life, especially in my life, and even related to what we're talking about right now about being kind of hurt by people saying mean things about you. It's your ego being hurt, right? You want to control them. You want to control how they feel. That's like a kind of direct path to unhappiness, is trying to control how other people feel about you. And I think,
unless you can do it successfully.
Yeah. Obviously,
definitely,
if I could control how people felt, I would definitely do that. But I think there's definitely a misconception that ego is all about arrogance, but ego can also be, just about you wanting to look good and want to be perceived as something, or kind of trying to change the narrative around what you are so that you kind of come across as better. But yeah, there's really, really great. I have to really say, I have to re-recommend Ego is the Enemy as a book for every person on the planet. But especially if you think you don't have ego problems, you should read it.
Well, I don't really have ego problems, so I think...
No, I know you don't. I know you don't. You just skip it. You just need to skip it. You just definitely skip that on there, and you'll be fine. You also do surveys at the end of your workshops and stuff. Have you ever gotten scathing bad review?
I think, the typical workshop is it'll be enough people that you're going to have people on the edges, like people who really loved it and thought it was great. And then, there's people who, I think in the workshop, it's a pretty skewed audience. So
they like you already.
Yeah, they probably, they committed to spend a day with me, but there is still negative. Yeah, there's negative feedback for sure. And that, I think a lot of the bugging me comes from, for sure it's ego. I probably should read that book. It's probably my ego that's preventing me from reading it. But I also do genuinely want to try to fix things when people say something negative. I'm I want to be able to fix that, and that's maybe a mindset that comes from building software for a really long time. And that people are struggling with something, or you're like, okay, well, maybe we can make that better for them.
Yeah.
But at any rate, it's with the workshops I have found, and it was helpful actually to read The Power of Moments, because they talk about this idea a little bit. I think it was Power of Moments where they talk about, there's some people who you can't bring up the people who have negative.
Yeah, you can't bring them from a 4 to a 5. You shouldn't try to bring them from a 4 to a 5.
Yeah, it's better to make it really great for the people who already liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And that sucks though. That it's reading that in the book, I'm like, oh, super smart. Yeah, makes sense actually, because people like different kinds of things. And I know there's stuff I dig that other people wouldn't dig. But it's a little bit harder when you are confronted with the negative feedback to not be like, oh man, because I cram a ton of stuff into the workshops. And so, sometimes people are like, it's just too much. And so I'm like, well, how should I take that? I actually have kind of dialed back a little bit after getting some of that feedback, but I want to be careful to not, for the people who love it and are like, it's tough to apply that concept of being a bit immune to the negative feedback or the people who are less satisfied, so that you can provide a opinionated great experience for the people who love it. It can be hard to do that because you have to weather that negative stuff.
Well, let me ask you this. What is and maybe this doesn't happen to you because you're a perfect human, but what's something that can trigger, and I think maybe even thinking back to your time working, full time at companies, because it's more likely to happen in those scenarios. Can you remember a time or something that can trigger you to feel bad for an entire day or 2 days or 3 days, relating to career, not relating to family, something that can really get you down, and you're like, it's stupid. You know you shouldn't feel like this, but it has happened.
I probably think of a lot of things, and I think having to do anything related to politics, where I feel like there's a person who is in the way of what I want to get done. And now I like kind of have to wrestle with that person's opinion, and I have to, and I'm trying to figure out how to like stack the deck against them so that I win, you know, like how do I make the case for my way of designing this feature? I mean, it sounds so dumb in hindsight, but like at the time it's like all consuming, like we got to do it my way. And like, if somebody doesn't agree with me or doesn't want to do it or is dragging their feet or something. And especially earlier in my career at Microsoft, I had some moments. It's funny, not like, not when I first started, because when I very first started, I knew I didn't know anything. It was the time when I got to the point, I'd been working as a designer for a few years and I thought I knew everything. And like looking back, I'm like, oh God, like the naive jerk. But, you know, I just thought I had it all figured out, and I would get into arguments with people. And I mean, that would just consume me body and mind for days, you know, weeks. I mean, stupid stuff, stupid way to lose, you know, moments of your life.
Yeah.
So that's a prime one, I think. I also just think, like you said, like negative feedback that feels like it's core to what you're doing. If people are, God, I just totally lost my train of thought. I totally lost it. Maybe we'll have Jason just kind of cut that little bit out. Or maybe leave it in, just keeping it real. Jake loses his train of
thought. Keep it real, Jason. It's going nowhere. You can tell we're both very high.
Why don't you? Could you tell me one? Could you tell me one while I try to reboot my brain? I need to find the floppy disk.
I honestly think, like I said earlier, it's always if I find out that somebody has been like assuming something about my personality that I inside know is not true. For example, it's really, really easy to think that I could be, you know, like if you hear me on this podcast or if you watch my Instagram sometimes, and I'll put on a character of being like this real asshole or like egomaniac or something. But when people know me and meet me, they generally quickly find out that I'm kind of relatively nice and humble and just want the best for the people. And I think the thing that usually gets me is if someone knows me for a long time and yet still kind of presents me to other people as like, oh yeah, well, he's kind of an asshole or whatever. Or not even like that. It's like, or a good one is like if people think that I just don't care about what's going on, or I just don't care about, oh, fuck, you know, I'm also losing the train of thought, but I think you know what I mean.
That's a great episode. This
best
is so
episode
good.
Ever.
This is so good.
This is the best episode, but I think actually we should definitely leave it in and get people to review this podcast. Yeah. No, but I think the basic point is in the same way, like someone might say, you know, oh, Jake, you know, he's an asshole. He just wrote his book and he's just doing it. You know, he doesn't give a shit about anything else. I don't know. I'm trying to just make up something here.
Well, it's fairly accurate.
You might be like, oh, well, I actually really just want to do the best for people. And obviously that person doesn't have a lot of context. Those are the times like where I feel like I don't get a chance to give people context and they're already judging. Those are the things I need to get better at not being irritated by. Because it is, again, it comes back to the ego thing. It's about you cannot control what other people think about you, and you shouldn't control what other people think about you. And I even heard something recently, I can't remember where it's from, but it's like you don't have the permission also to control how other people think about you or how other people perceive you. They're just going to do that. And it's almost like freeing to know that you don't have that permission. You shouldn't try to control it. Of course, if you realize that someone thinks you're a piece of shit, you could take the opportunity to try to understand it. But in general, you shouldn't be kind of watching out for people misjudging you, because that's just going to happen for your entire life anyway, because humans are built like that. So yeah, I think for me, it's that. It's like people kind of having an opinion about me, maybe based on Instagram or something like that, but without any context. Sometimes I find it funny, but sometimes I do get a little bit hurt and I'm like, hey.
Yeah, we should get Jason to just play crying babies throughout this whole podcast so far. 25 minutes of crying babies.
Yeah, but I do think knowing that.
It's like, Oh, no. Listeners, you need to know something. You need to know something. Jonathan has a problem with his... No, I'm not tired. It's morning here. I'm actually... I had my coffee. Oh, we can talk about coffee, too. Product breakfast. There's the thing you need to know is that John has some kind of thing going on with his wireless in his apartment.
Yeah.
And so you aren't going to hear this because we both are doing local recording. Our setup is we've got Adobe Audition. And we're recording locally, our local audio. That's why it sounds reasonably okay. Actually, it sounds reasonably okay. It's because Jason. But we're doing the call with each other over Skype. And so every so now and then, John's audio or my audio like freezes for the other person and goes robot. And then it goes dead. And so then the other person hears quiet. But we also have this thing where both of us, I don't know why, but when it goes quiet, we think it's funny to stop talking and then see how long it'll go. So
this is the best episode ever.
This is the best episode ever.
This is like the episode that they should play on day one of like product school, you know?
Yeah, it's like, all right, everybody, welcome to product school. You're the best of the best. Strap into your desks. Get out your notebook and let's start this episode.
Listen to this shit. But I think maybe to put a bow tie on it, I think also maybe a lesson to take away is that from day one, Jake and I kind of discussed, okay, like this podcast is going to be a bit rambly. It's going to be silly. We've started singing the theme tune in for over a year now. It's not that we think that everyone's going to like that, but we've accepted that the people who will like that kind of thing will love it, right?
Yeah.
We're not trying to hit the mass market. I'll be just honest with you. I don't ever check the reviews for Product Breakfast Club. I'm super thankful for everyone who gives a positive review because it helps the podcast to get seen. But I couldn't give less of a shit about getting feedback. Like when we get feedback on the show, like suggestions for change, I'm like, yeah, okay, I don't really care, but thanks for sending it. Because I think this is almost like an art project. It's like a selfish art project. Now, I'm sure your book, for example, and like our online courses and our services that we sell at AJ and Smart, that's different. That's something where we do, of course, want the people who are the target market. We want it to be, you know, smooth and we want people to love it. But I think it's good to have some things in your life where you just say, you know what, this is like my outlet and I really don't care if people don't like it. And you know what's also weird? I also find it weird that like people do even bother writing bad reviews for something like a podcast because it is a free, and especially this one, there's like no ads, there's nothing. It's just like two dudes talking and it's not like you could just fucking turn it off and go away. No, you have to write a 2-star review. Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm going to read Ego as the Enemy after I've read every fiction book that I want to read. And then I'm going to stop being so into myself, but I do read your reviews. Let's read a couple more reviews, then let's change topics, because you're right. We should put a bow tie on the self-doubt topic there at the beginning. So next one, my favorite podcast. This is from Mimi0210. 5 stars, my favorite podcast. It's really relaxing to listen to these guys talking while I'm driving to work. It's funny, thoughtful, and I can learn some stuff. I'm recommending this podcast to my coworkers too. Thank you, Mimi. Thank you so much for recommending us too. That's
great.
That's great.
I like this one here from Keaton Taylor, Keaton_Taylor. A breath of fresh air in a stuffy and self-important scene. You hear that, Jake? See?
Yeah, okay.
You never hear another design podcast where like the two main hosts are just like talking about the fact that they feel sad about stuff. Love the fun nature of the podcast. Jake and Jonathan have a hilarious and obvious connection.
No.
Listen if you love silliness, thoughtfulness, and whatever the most positive version of a hot take is.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
See that? I like this one. This is from Gwynplaine 920. The work podcast that doesn't feel like work. Listen to this.
Nice.
I've gotten more useful work insights and recommendations out of this podcast than perhaps any other. But unlike some of the other design podcasts, this one is actually funny. And fun and geeky and in the perfect amount. I find myself looking forward to it on Sundays. Great way to start the week. #buysprint.
Ah, okay. This is great. Well, so, you know, one way of looking at the negative reviews, and here's another one. Okay, but not great. Occasionally interesting, but better listen to, and it's not the main thing you're paying attention to. Two stars.
Yeah, I agree with that one. That should be 3 stars.
Yeah, it should be 3 stars. One way of looking at the negative reviews is they show you that you're doing something weird. And if you're going to do something great, it's got to be weird. Most things that are great are not straight down the middle. So, well, you know what? Let's move on to the next topic. I want to talk about how do you make coffee?
Oh, at home, I just use a percolator. I'm not doing anything fancy at all. I have like the Bialetti espresso, like little thing that you put on the oven.
Yes, okay.
Or the stove.
That's very European. The little metal dealy. Yeah. Okay.
Little Bialetti if I just want an espresso. But most of the time, I use like a large percolator. I use coffee filters and I use ground up coffee beans. Nothing fancy at all.
By ground up coffee beans, you mean you buy them ground up, because I don't think anybody can make coffee out of whole beans.
I find the beans myself and I just bite them until... No, I just bite them pre-ground up, basically.
So you're basically a Neanderthal.
I'm a basic boy.
Okay.
Two-star coffee review.
Yeah. Jonathan Courtney's coffee making method is pathetic. 2 stars.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's cool. No, that's cool. No, actually, I kind of just sometimes want to calibrate how insane am I? Because in the context of, I would say San Francisco, maybe it's more specifically people who I know and worked with or whatever, our coffee setup at home is not that crazy. But when I talk to you, or like when I talk to, I guess, sort of normal people, I'm like, oh yeah, this is sort of, it looks like a chemistry lab or something in here. Because we've tried,
tell me what you do.
We've tried everything. We've tried every different way that you can make coffee over the years. And we've done the pour over and we have a scale.
I don't get the pour over thing, because what's the difference between that and a percolator?
Oh, well, it's better. It's better if you have the pour over. Why? Really, I don't know why. But for me, the difference between a cup that's been hand poured and one that's from the percolator, I think you could definitely argue that this could be my mind playing tricks on me, because I know that it took more work, right? It could be that. But my impression is just that the coffee from the pour over is just like thicker and more flavorful. It just is, there's more like
gravy.
It's like gravy. It is coffee gravy. But it's a fair question. I think a good percolator probably, it's probably basically doing the same thing, right? It's just like putting hot water over grounds of coffee. So it can't be that different, right?
But don't say that to Kevin Rose.
Don't say that to Kevin Rose. And Kevin Rose and people like him have gotten in my head with the coffee thing.
Yeah.
But we did that.
How do
that.
You do it then?
Yeah, well, there's an AeroPress. And you know what an AeroPress is?
Oh, yeah.
It's like
cheap
plastic for people who don't know and care. Other people just hit that little fast forward button. It's a plastic tube. It was invented by the guy who invented the Aerobee, which is like a Frisbee that's a circle with no interior.
And the penis pump. Else...
Yeah, the AeroPress. Yeah.
I've made a huge mistake.
Okay. So, yeah. I'm not going to continue talking about the AeroPress.
I know. I knew you wouldn't go down that road, but I just decided to get in there.
In fact, maybe this episode is over. So, God, then anyway, we've done a variety of things and we ended up with, after, I think it was the same trip when we did our first workshop together in Berlin, but we had spent a couple of weeks in Italy and got used to having espressos because, you know, in Italy, it's like, oh, here's a Euro, here's an espresso, like. And we were like, oh, that's pretty great. And so we came back home and we were like, oh, we want to have espressos like we did in Europe. And we sort of did some research and bought, it's like the top of the low end, maybe, model of espresso maker. Because you can spend, if you want to buy an espresso machine for your home, you could spend whatever amount of money you want to spend. You want to spend $50? Yeah, there's a thing that costs $50. If you want to spend $20.
It's called a stick.
If you want to spend like $100,000, probably, there's probably a machine. You know, they probably have one of those too.
Yeah.
So we got like something that was not expensive, but makes like a decent cup of coffee. It's made by Breville.
Breville.
Yeah. And you just like, you basically, all you got to do is push a button. And I really like Breville stuff. I'm going to say, well designed.
By Breville.
We have a toaster that they make that I really like, that has like a button that says a little more on it, you know, which is so smart.
Oh, I heard about
right?
that one, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. It's like you toast it and then it's like, oh, I just want a little more. It's so good. It's just exactly the button I wanted on a toaster, didn't know. And then the espresso maker, you turn it on and you gotta get the grinds in there, but it consistently makes a good espresso, but I always screw it up. And anyway, before this episode started, I had to pause to go get a coffee and I told you it was gonna take 3 minutes because it's espresso, it's supposed to be fast. But it took me longer than that. And my wife was like, do you even know what you're doing? And we've had it for like years. So I should. I'm running out of steam on this topic because you didn't know that much to bring to the table.
I can tell you're losing energy towards
it. I'm going to stop talking now. Yeah.
I honestly think that, you know, what's going to make this episode good is just how fucking shit and human it is. And like, you know, people are always like, oh, what if, you know, I don't want to start a podcast because I don't know if I have the topics. We're struggling here. Like, we didn't, just before the podcast, I kind of said, let's just talk about what's going on and we'll get it. For the next episode, preview, you know, like in a good book, you always have cliffhangers.
Oh, yeah.
Preview of what could happen in future episodes, but not this episode. Hackathons, do they actually work? That would be a great episode.
Oh, that would be a good one. Oh, that'd be a good one. God, we should almost talk about that now.
Yeah, so I have that. Being downgraded in life because of having a baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I can actually, yeah. I want to read the chapter Canvas Strategy from Ego as the Enemy and discuss it with you.
I really am going to have to read that book if we're going to continue talking as friends.
Here's a big one, and here's a controversial one. Only super basic apps that are not successful win the Apple Awards at the end of the year.
Oh,
like it's almost never an app that's like actually being used by a lot of people. It's usually something with a gimmick that's super simple. That's obviously really generalizing. I just looked at like the last few years and I was like, interesting. They're all really beautiful, but they're all almost like these one use things. And so what actually wins design awards is often things that don't end up lasting the test of time. Like, for example, Facebook is never going to win a design award, but it's lasted around 3,000 years. So that's just to say that there are topics, but I felt like it would be kind of fine to have like a really chilled one here, you know, with all the traveling. I'm just back from vacation as well. I'm still in chill mode. I'll really quickly, just maybe to end it on something funny, because you probably have something funny to say to it as well. Both of us have kids. I have a fresh one. She's 5 months old now.
Oh, brand new.
Fresh, yeah. The definitely getting less, like, yeah, the latest model. Getting way less stressful to handle as well now that it's kind of, you know, 5.5 months. Sleeping a bit more, getting cuter, all of that kind of stuff.
Your daughter, by the way, is almost the exact same age as you. My puppy. And I remember having babies thinking that the most annoying thing is talking to someone and being like something about your baby. And they're like, oh, yeah. And then they talk about their pet. And I'm like,
oh, it is.
You don't.
It
understand.
Happened to me too. Yeah. That happened. You did that to me on the podcast.
Yeah, I did. Now I just love doing it. It's so fun to do to other people.
My sister does it as well. Like, I'll be like, hey, this is happening with the baby. And she'll say her dog Woodley is having the same problem. And I'm like, fucker. So, look, we were in Greece. We were staying at this hotel. The design of the place almost looked like, did you see the movie Ex Machina?
Yeah.
It kind of looked like that. Oh, it was like really well designed, really cool place, really beautiful architecture.
Like with robotic ladies walking around, you mean? Or
there was a woman there who escaped and destroyed the planet.
Okay. But you guys were inside, so it was fine. For people who don't live in Europe, I feel like a lot of times people in Europe just take for granted like, oh yeah, I went to Greece, and like everyone else just can picture
we're on vacation all
what
the time.
That looks like. Right. So, but I'm like, wow, you went to Greece? Amazing. What, when you go to Greece, there's like a billion islands, aren't there? I mean, are you on like a big place in a city? Are
it
you
depends.
On a tiny? What was it like?
This time we were on an island called Crete.
I've heard of that.
It's really, really nice.
Is that where the Minotaur was?
Yes.
You don't know. You don't know your Greek mythology.
Little of a fucking clue.
You son of a bitch.
That's where you Alexander
go to Greece,
the Small
was. It's
like
a 2-hour flight for you, and you don't even know your Greek goddamn mythology. Okay.
2-hour, 45 minutes. So yeah, we were in Greece. Greece is really one of my favorite parts of the entire planet. We go there pretty often, myself and my wife. But this is the first time we've been there with a kid. And really quickly, to get to the point of the story, like this place, I was worried, it's going to be weird to bring kids here because it looks like kind of a place where maybe it's not like ready for kids because it looks so nice. But they did have like special dining rooms for if you have children and you get put in with the other people with children. But seriously, it was a massive downgrade. When we would go to dinner, we would pass all the beautifully designed dining spaces. You know, everyone's sitting down, having their wine, like, looking out over the ocean, like these, just imagine like, you know, long white curtains flapping in the wind. It just looked beautiful. It looked amazing. We kept getting brought further down the hall. Eventually, you get into the room with all the children, and it's like Everyone looks haggard and wrecked. The tables are like from IKEA or something. The place is super bright and there's like screams and it's echoey. And I was like, Jesus Christ, like we're paying probably the same or more. And yet we've been brought to this place where it looks like a prison. And everything is glass and kind of concrete there. So we could see right in like all the chaos of the kids screaming and throwing stuff and everyone looking stressed. And then you turn your head and it's... Oh, yes, sir. Would you like your fish? And our fish is like tied down to the table. Oh, man. It was difficult for me to come to terms with like, oh, man. Like, and also we're using kind of like, I don't know what you call it in America, like a pram, a buggy, a... Stroller.
Yeah.
You know, if anyone sends me a message later and says first world problem, I'll just reply and say you're wrong because this is a serious problem. We couldn't get down to the beach easily with the stroller. It was difficult.
This is one of the biggest problems facing the human
our planet
right
today.
Now. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Ruined. Oh, yeah. So actually, wow. It was fine.
That makes me feel so much better because when I heard you were in Greece, I was just, you didn't even tell me before you went.
It was amazing, dude. It's such a beautiful place.
Next thing I knew was like, oh, yeah, John's in Greece. And I was like,
oh, sorry.
Oh, I hate it. So I'm glad it was bad.
Yeah.
Because I haven't read Ego's the Enemy, I can just like be happy that you suffered.
Yeah.
That's the good thing because once you've read it, I think you know that you shouldn't do some of those things. That's my impression. But
exactly.
Right now.
Now you can do it.
It's totally fair game.
I think it was also the first vacation in my entire time running AJ and Smart where I felt like I needed the vacation. You know the way people are always saying, oh man, I need a vacation or I can't wait for the weekend.
Yeah.
I never do that because I really enjoy what I do and I still really enjoy what I do. But this is the first time where I was like, okay, you know what? I've been working. I've been pushing a little bit too hard right now. And so that's the first trip in my entire life where I was actually... I felt like I needed it, like almost like as a medicine, I needed to go and switch off. And I switched off for 10 full days, didn't check email, didn't check Slack. The company's bankrupt and I'm living.
did you hit the point where you, like for me, vacations could be uncomfortable. I think probably for the reason you described, like where I'm like, I enjoy what I do. And sometimes having just, it's embarrassing to admit also, but like having an open day, I'm like, I need to like do something. If I don't kind of feel like I achieved something today, I'm going to feel down. Does that happen to you? And on this trip, what happened?
I also think it's good to admit that because it's a really big problem. Like for me, I do have a very difficult time relaxing and have a very difficult time switching off and just like almost enjoying non-work life. And I think that's a very common problem that like type A personalities, like people who love to kind of achieve stuff, we all have that. I even realized that like last year when I went to Tokyo on a work trip, my work part was only 3 hours and I was there for 7 days. You know, like I was like, yeah, I'm going to have loads of time to do stuff and to chill.
Yeah.
And after like, honestly, 2 days, I was like, oh, this is weird. Like, what do I do? And I realized like, that's a bad thing. Like I should be able to just be kind of a normal. I guess maybe it's just we're maybe not built to just do nothing. Some people are really good at it, but I'm terrible at it. But I have to say the Greece trip, I did manage to just say, okay, I'm not going to bring my phone around with me. I'm just going to read. So what I was achieving was reading a fiction book and a nonfiction book and mostly just eating and chilling on the beach. So I did actually manage to switch off, but I do start getting sort of antsy towards the end. I start getting a bit like, oh, I need to do something. Like, I feel like I really want to go back to work. And so for me, like my wife loves to take huge long trips. Like she always wants the trips to be like 4 or 5 weeks long. By the way, remember we're in Europe and everyone has crazy vacations.
Right. You could do that.
Exactly. So, but for me, it kills me, right? Like I did a 4-week vacation last year and I'm like, by the 10th day, I'm like, oh my God, this is too much for me. I think I'm just kind of wired like that. I which is why I also can never really imagine, you know, people, you know, working towards retirement or whatever. I'm just like, what would I even do? Because my entire identity is work.
You know, you mentioned type A personalities. Are there other types? Was there like type Q and type R and stuff? Or is it, I've never heard of any other types. I hear type A all the time, but.
Too egotistical to check it out.
It's like, who cares?
I think, type A is the positives are that you're, you know, very goal oriented. You're always trying to achieve things. You're always trying to better yourself. You're always trying to optimize and all of this. And the negative is the same thing. You can't relax because you're doing all of that. So even if you become successful in the kind of classical sense, it doesn't make you happy.
It's not enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Nothing
well,
is enough
that
ever.
Like a great life for us.
Yeah, exactly. So
I hope the rest of you losers are happy with your unsuccessful. Oh, geez. But I hope you're happy. At least you're happy.
I think the name of this episode, the good name for it is, this is a 2-star episode.
This is a 1-star episode. Actually, that part was good.
That part was all right, wasn't it?
A funny thing about this podcast is that when we do this, when we're just talking about stuff and it's a bit like, it just feels more like conversation, I feel better afterwards. I predict that after this, like finished recording today, I'm going to feel a bit more good about having done it.
Mm.
Whereas when we talk about a topic from the new, like especially like a product topic, like a design, like a tech topic, I feel like a bit of a phony. You know, I feel always like, who am I to say? I'm not really sure I know. You know, there's that sort of like the hot take on something. That always, sometimes they're like when I listen to them later, I'm like, oh, that was all right. We sounded all right. Like,
yeah.
But this part is kind of more fun in the moment anyway.
Yeah. And exactly. Like, who cares? Again, we don't have sponsors. We can kind of just like do this if we like it.
Yeah.
And then if people really, like if everyone leaves the podcast and we have no more listeners, maybe it's a problem. But oh, I want to say one more thing. I've been, for anyone out there who is a type A personality, one of the biggest problems that you're going to have in life is that it's hard to find other people who are sort of on the same path as you to talk to. Because usually if you have this personality type, and especially if you're an entrepreneur, and Jake, you're an entrepreneur, by the way, you're not like a freelancer. Oh. You would be an entrepreneur, I would say.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
You kind of will... You'll have issues if your main people to talk to are just like family and friends, because for them, the sort of problems that you're having are not real problems, which is totally fair, especially if you're ambitious and especially if you've kind of, if you're often succeeding with things. I mentioned it a few times, but I joined this thing recently called EO. By the way, this is not an ad, but EO is like a, it's called Entrepreneurs Organization. And basically they kind of put you into a group of like 8 other people who are in a similar position as you, and a similar, almost like everyone is guaranteed to have a similar personality type and similar challenges. And it's essentially, I mean, I hope they don't like take this the wrong way, but it's almost like a self-help group or a therapy group where you go and there's very structured conversations around the challenges you're having in your sort of entrepreneurial life. And I've just started it. It took like 4 or 5 months to get it up and running, but it's been a really good, I think it's going to be really, really helpful in my life, especially around people like you and I. One of the problems is that we're sort of choosing our destiny a bit, as in we're not working for anyone. We're just sort of doing our own things and seeing what happens. And it's good to almost be around other people who are doing that and hearing their challenges, hearing their problems, hearing what they find scary. And usually after one of those sessions, I feel, oh my God, okay. Like all these things I've been worrying about this month, everyone else also worries about them. Therefore, it's not just me. Therefore, it's actually normal. And I think that's often like something that the type A personality type misses, because normally no one wants to hear those things, right? Especially if you're already doing kind of all right.
So you're running an agency. What are other people in the group doing? What kinds of things?
It's a global thing. So it's basically just people running businesses who are, and that business has to be making over X amount. And in Germany, I think it's over 1 million. In like New York, it's over 5 million. It just depends on the city. And so it's just completely different types of businesses.
So in Berlin, they'd be mostly like sex shops.
Yeah. Mostly sex shops. Yeah. I think actually I'm the only one that's not running a sex shop, but I think I'm going to move into that business having done these. So yeah, I really understand all of their problems. That's basically it. It's like, I've been missing that for the last 7 years and I've only realized it now. You stopped talking that time and I could hear your mouth. Like,
I know, the audio was fine. I just wanted to do
one. You're such a fucker. I think that's a good way to end the podcast. Okay. Oh, everyone who's listening to this now, if you're listening to this, then you will know that Game of Thrones is finished.
Don't say anything. I haven't watched any episodes.
Of course, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not like that. I'm not that kind of person. But just want to let you know that I hope it was enjoyable. No one has seen it yet. When this is recorded, no one has seen it. But the last episode comes out tonight, your time.
Whoa.
Last episode after 10 years of Game of Thrones. And all I can say is if you haven't read the first 3 books, please read them. They're amazingly written.
I have read the first three. I have read the first three. They're great. They're great.
Forget four and five. Jesus.
But I haven't watched any episodes. I'm afraid of getting into it now because it's like 42 years worth of video that I have to get through.
Yeah.
I can't even physically, if I wanted to watch the last episode tonight, I couldn't even, it's not even possible to get to there from here. So
fair enough.
Enjoy everybody.
Yeah. Enjoy
it. I hope you enjoy your show conclusion there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Man. Well,
that was fun. I feel like it was like, what is the word? Cathartic or something?
Cathartic. It's something like that.
Cathartic? I don't know the word.
From the Greek katharsos.
Katharsios.
Meaning children's room.
Oh, right.
And with that, where can people find you online, Jonathan?
After that episode, nowhere.
Nowhere.
I think actually the best place is just if you have anything you want to say, send it on to pbc@ajsmart.com. And yeah, I don't know. Do your thing.
Yeah, that's good for me too. Just feedback about it would be good on there.
We said we don't want any feedback, and now we're saying we want feedback.
Right. Now we're like, positive please feedback. Tell us you love us.
We just want positive feedback.
No, I can grow up and read the book and stop, you know. Yeah, I'm fine with no feedback. Don't worry about it, everybody. I'm just doing my thing. Whew. Okay. let's sing this thing out. Product Breakfast Club.
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 Product Breakfast Club.